Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we can thank the Lord for the beautiful scenery that we see. And it shows his handiwork. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And everywhere you see the design that the Lord has made. And of course, there's no evidence of evolution whatsoever. But in the Word of God, we want to talk today. Somebody brought up to me just last week, and I thought it was a good program, but we're going to go into that more. And that is the New King James. And we're going to show the differences, but I'm going to talk about a couple differences today in it. And we'll give more scripture verses in the future. Now, thank God it doesn't throw Jesus out in 100 places in the New Testament, like the New American Standard Version or the New International Version does. But most of those places it's in, but there are changes. And Jesus said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. So God keeps his word in a perfect way. And he says exactly what he wants to say. And every word is important. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is a verse quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word is important to God. And Jesus makes a threat to anybody that would change any of the words. And I was just told this week, you know, when the New American Standard Version came out, one of the leading Bible teachers at that time was a pastor of a church in Canada named Logsdon. And shortly after it came out, he totally repudiated it and put it in print. And then he talked to Dewey Lachman, who was in charge of the whole thing. And Lachman said, well, he's going on a vacation. He says, you can talk to me after the vacation is over with. Well, the vacation ended up in a box because before he came back to talk to Logsdon, he had died. And it's such an important thing. Every word is important to God. And it is really blasphemy to use these Bibles to throw Jesus out in 100 places like these modern versions do. But and that's why we have this program. Because it is the most important thing in Christianity is who is Jesus Christ and what did he say? And the evidence and proof is overwhelming. I mean, the information that I have, and I have books at home, it's actually, there's an encyclopedia of information out there on this subject. And there's many brilliant writers around the world that have written on this subject. And I have read both sides of this issue for years. I've been studying it, reading both sides, and it sure made a believer out of me, because when you have over 99% of the evidence back in the King James and about 0.08% of the evidence backing the modern versions, and then that 0.08%, those Bibles don't even agree with each other. For instance, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the basis of the modern versions, disagree 3,000 words in the Gospels alone. And so yet we have the Word of God. Now, many times in books they talk about the Bible being chained to the pulpit and people not having the Bible. Well, that's another huge lie. And as I've got into this and studied, I see there's all kinds of lies that are going on out there. Because I have a book at home that it's called In Awe of God's Word, and shows hundreds of pages where the readings of the King James Bible, the very words of them, are going back, way back into the 4th and 5th century. For instance, the beginning of the English language was the Gothic language that was spoken by the Goths. And Euphilus, in about 335, put out a translation from the Koine Greek text into the Gothic language. And that translation lines up with the King James Bible. And then as the language changes in England and they become the Saxon language, they have these Bibles in museums all over Europe. And so we can compare them with our King James Bible. And so they had the Saxon language, and then they had the after the Saxon, they had the Wycliffe Bible, and then they had the Tyndale Bible and the Geneva Bible. And in most cases, these Bibles line up word for word with the King James. Now, some of these words, for instance, in the Gothic and Saxon, they sound and look a little bit different because the sounds of them and the looks of the word changes, but it's still the same words. And I was reading page after page, and they were taking one word and they were showing how that they lined up with the Authorized King James Bible, and that includes the Wycliffe Bible. Some people say it was another text. No, it lines up with the King James Bible. And so all the way back, they had the true words of God. And people say, well, it was just chained to the Bible, was just chained to the pulpit. I tell you, they had hundreds, and they even had thousands of Bibles in Europe before the Protestant Reformation. And the evidence and proof, for instance, in Germany, they have today 600 Bibles that were translated into German before Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, when he started the Protestant Reformation, it was the year 1517, and yet there's still 600 Bibles that remain when Luther made his translation. And sometimes they talk about how fast he did it. He was a Greek scholar, but he had these other translations in front of him, and so he was reading them and looking at them and then putting out his own translation of the Bible. But it was based on the received text, and that's the text of thousands of manuscripts. It was translated way back in 1200, and before that even, it was translated by Peter Waldo, who is a very wealthy merchant, and he translated it into the French language. And I'm sure they had it even before that, and it was translated into French and Spanish. And these Bibles by the thousands are all over Europe in the museums today. And they agree in 99% of the time, they'll agree with the King James Bible. We say that the modern ones, they are not an updating of the King James. They are not based on older and better manuscripts or new manuscripts that Erasmus did not have and those people did not have. That is an out-and-out lie. And I notice that many times people that will attack the King James that get a little bit of education, when they attack it, in generalities. For instance, they'll say, we have older and better manuscripts. Why don't they tell us what they are? Well, I'll tell you what they are. It's Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, Ephraim Rescriptus, and Codex Beza. And these old Bibles, they have sometimes five different readings on one scripture verse. And they come from Constantine, who was baptized by an Arian minister to take away his sins. He never understood what Christianity was, and Constantine had his wife murdered, had his son murdered. You know, this is a real interesting and good person, you know, to base your Bibles on. And so two characters named Westcott and Hort that we've talked about over and over again, who were Dolly worshipers, who were evolutionists, and of course they were in religion, and they made up a text based on these manuscripts to call it New Testament Original Greek. And it was original, all right. It was original with them. It had never existed before them. But on the other hand, we have the evidence of thousands of manuscripts that go right back to the apostles of Jesus Christ. And so they did have Bibles. Why wouldn't they? I mean, people could make a living on just copying them, and there were many people that did. For instance, in the year 850, there's probably more Greek manuscripts from that period of time than almost any other period of time, 850. And at that time, there was a woman named Theodora. She was empress of the Eastern Roman Empire in Constantinople. And she put out a decree that no Bible should be copied. And yet, there are more copies during that time when she made that decree than almost any other time for the Greek manuscripts. And what are these copies? What do they read? Well, they back up the King James Authorized Bible. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we believe also the Holy Spirit of God, he says, he's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. He's not going to guide us into partial truth. He's going to guide us into all truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. And it's so important that we have the right Bible that is absolutely true and accurate. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And, you know, they put out commentaries of people, and they never even studied Greek. They don't never study manuscript evidence. And people, ministers sometimes are reading from these commentaries, and they're correcting the King James. And it's insanity. That makes them the final authority instead of the Bible being the final authority they are. The Bible says, in thy word do I trust. We're to trust in God's word, and we're to trust in the promises of Christ that he has given us, a perfect Bible. Not, and it says, cursed is every man that putteth his confidence in man. Now, I just read recently the Southern Baptist Convention was condemning one of the latest editions of the New International Version. And I understand that they wanted to put this out with a gender-neutral text. Do you realize that this gender-neutral idea, and men are women, they have many characteristics the same, but they have differences, and God wants them to, they have a different role, and God talks about that different role. Well, to take away the gender differences, which the Word of God has, then they're messing with the Bible. Who gave them a right to change God's word? And so when it's amazing to me that when they take out the names of Jesus in the New Testament, New International Version, they didn't complain about that or people haven't made a stink about that. But then when they make it gender neutral, there is more of a controversy over that subject. And, you know, it's very simple. There's two groups and sets of manuscripts. One is the Alexandrian, which is just a tiny fraction of 1% that all disagree with each other because these people, they didn't fear God, so they were changing the text as they were copying it and as they were translating it. And there's the true text. It's called the Received Text, the Textus Receptus, and also comes from Antioch of Syria, where the first missionary church was. And the missionaries went out from Antioch all over Europe, and they had the true word of God. And in the early centuries, they had the true word of God. For instance, the New Testament was written in the Koine Greek, Common Greek. The modern versions do not come from the Common Greek text. They come from Classical Greek. And the definitions found in even in Strong's and lexicons and concordances many times come from Classical Greek. You know, God says in 1 Timothy, he says, we don't speak in the words of man's wisdom. We don't speak in the words of man's wisdom. Wisdom refers to philosophy. And it's not based on the philosopher's words. Origen, in 180, who lived 185 to 254, he wasn't even a saved person because he believed you were saved by works, by his own statements. He was one of the great corruptors of the scripture. And the Alexandrian line started with the Gnostics, went to Origen, and then finally got into the Vulgate and was propagated through that and through Constantine's manuscripts that he put out. You know, the early New Testament is translated into Koine Greek. That's what the King James is based on. And it was translated in 135 into the Italic or Old Latin text, which our King James Bible is based on, along with the Koine Greek. It's translated into Syriac, Peshitta. And all of these basically are the same text, the Received Text, and then into the Gothic text, the Received Text into the Gothic language, which was the beginning of the King James. Someone was asking me this week, and I thought it's a good program. We'll give more time to it. The New King James does not take out the names of Jesus in 100 places in the New Testament, but I still do not recommend it, and I believe that God has given us the King James that's perfect. I want to show you where a change has been made in the New King James that is very significant, but you hardly would even notice it. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, the key word here is change the truth of God into a lie. In the United States of America, you have many hundreds of thousands of churches that claim to be Christian, yet they do not believe what the Bible says, and they reinterpret the Bible. One of the ways is allegorize it, and instead of teaching that the Bible is history, they deny that it is history, and that is very important. Jesus taught the Bible of the Old Testament as history. The Bible is a record of Almighty God actually speaking to mankind over the ages. And so they call themselves Christian, but they have changed it into a lie. And how do you know if how do you know if what you believe is a lie or the truth? Just read the Bible, that's all. You read it, you know, and read it systematically. Read each chapter two or three times, and go through the New Testament a number of times, and then start back through the Bible. And you'll see the truth there. You ask God to help you, and you'll see what the truth is. But they change the truth. What's the changing the truth of God into lie? Let's give an example. For instance, baptism. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So they say that somebody has to pray over the water, and that water becomes holy water, and then the water takes away your sin. And they have changed it into a lie. Jesus explains John 3:5 in the very next verse. He said, in the very next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you know anything about the birth of a child, before the child is born, the water breaks in the mother. And so he says, that which is, the water is fleshly birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He is not talking about water baptism as saving. And water does not take away your sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It says he washed us with his blood. And over this is taught. By faith when we receive Christ, it's his blood. But they've changed that into a lie. We could go on and show this. And so in the King James, it says he changed it. Now, the difference is in the modern versions, and all the modern versions practically say that. They say he exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Well, changing it into the lie is professing to be a Christian and putting a different meaning than God and the Bible puts on it. Well, how do you know the biblical meaning? By comparing Scripture with Scripture and starting out in the context. What's the verse say before, and what's the verse say after? And people say, they quote all of kinds of verses and put private interpretation, private meanings on the verses, when almost every case, a controversial verse is explained in the next verse. So all you got to do is read the next verse. So the New King James says they changed the truth of God for a lie. They no longer call themselves Christian. They, for instance, they become a communist. They say they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Changing it into a lie and exchanging it for a lie is two different things. Changing it into a lie, you can profess to be Christian and then change all the meanings that the Bible gives. But exchanging it for a lie, you can dump Christianity and become a communist. That's exchanging it for a lie. There's a big difference there. And all these words are so important in the Bible. Now, let me give you another example in the New King James Bible. And that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now he talks about the profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Now they change that to knowledge. And I know the arguments and so on. But God is involved in translations. And most of the modern translators will say that. But when it comes to the King James, then they deny it. And God puts here science. It's a warning against so-called science. And so-called science has always been full of superstition and lies and religious falsehoods and all the rest of it. And you ought to hear the other side of science. what they call science. They had the Peking man, the Piltdown man, the Java man, the Nebraska man, all of these fakes and phonies trying to prove evolution, that man has been evolving. You see in the papers millions and millions of years. And the reason they do that is because in science it's based on three ideas: observation, experimentation, and repeatability. Nobody has ever observed evolution. And there is no record in the fossil record. And if they say there is, they are lying. They cannot prove it. Even the latest one, Lucy, her bones was far apart. And yet in the name of science, for instance, even when it comes to the Bible text, they'll say the scientific text. And immediately that deceives and fools people. They profess to be wise, the Bible says, but they become fools. So they'll say it's scientific. Well, there's nothing scientific about evolution. There's nothing scientific about the Westcott and Hort theories to promote the modern versions, and I've studied them very carefully. But that has changed to knowledge instead of science. God has put it in there as science. He wants every word to be read and studied just as it is. Where else in the Bible does it warn against science to people that are reading the Word of God? If you take that out there, there is no other warning. And so in the New King James, that has been changed. And you know, it's a very serious thing for you to change and tamper with God's Word. I would be afraid to change one word of the Word of God. But I thank you. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It'd be easier for the sun to burn out and the stars to fall out of heaven than one word of his to pass away. And by many reasons, and we have given these reasons before, in the King James we have his very words. With men of other tongues, Jesus, the Bible says, will I speak to this people? God speaks English. He created language, and he can preserve it and keep it and give it to us today. Today, English is the universal language, and we have a Bible for the universal world, and that is the Authorized King James Bible. In thy word do I trust. Praise God for it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.